Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're off the bat in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate very much your generous invitation to be here tonight. You bear heavy responsibilities these days, and an article I read some time ago reminded me of how particularly heavily the burdens of present-day events bear upon your profession. You may remember that in 1851, New York Herald Tribune, under the sponsorship and publishing of Horace Greeley, employed as its London correspondent, an obscure journalist by the name of Karl Marx. We are told that foreign correspondent Marx, stone broke, and with a family ill and undernourished, constantly appealed to Greeley and managing editor Charles Dana for an increase in his munificent salary of $5 per installment, a salary which he and Engels ungratefully labeled as the lousiest petty bourgeois cheating. But when all his financial appeals were refused, Marx looked around for other means of livelihood and fame, eventually terminating his relationship with the Tribune and devoting his talents full-time to the cause that would bequeath to the world the seeds of Leninism, Stalinism, revolution, and the Cold War. If only this capitalistic New York newspaper had... had treated him more kindly. If only Marx had remained a foreign correspondent, history might have been different. And I... I hope all publishers will bear this lesson in mind the next time they receive a poverty-stricken appeal from a small increase in the expense account from an obscure newspaper man. I have selected as the title of my remarks tonight, The President and the Press. Some may suggest that this would be more naturally worded, The President versus the Press, but those are not my sentiments tonight. It is true, however, that when a well-known diplomat from another country demanded recently that our State Department repudiate certain newspaper attacks on his colleague, it was unnecessary for us to reply that this administration was not responsible for the press, for the press had already made it clear that it was not responsible for this administration. Nevertheless, my purpose here tonight is not to deliver the usual assault on the so-called one-party press. On the contrary, in recent months, I have rarely heard any complaints about political bias in the press, except from a few Republicans. Nor is it my purpose tonight to discuss or defend the televising of presidential press conferences. I think it is highly beneficial to have some 20 million Americans regularly sit in on these conferences to observe, if I may say so, the incisive, the intelligent, and the courteous qualities displayed by your Washington correspondents. Nor, finally, are these remarks intended to examine the proper degree of privacy which the press should allow to any president and his family. If in the last few months your White House reporters and photographers have been attending church services with regularity, that has surely done them no harm. On the other hand, I realize that your staff and wire service photographers may be complaining that they do not enjoy the same green privileges, the local golf courses, which they once did. It is true that my predecessor did not object, as I do, to pictures of one's golfing skill in action. But neither, on the other hand, did he ever been a Secret Service man. My topic tonight is a more sober one, of concern to publishers as well as editors. I want to talk about our common responsibilities in the face of a common danger. The events of recent weeks may have helped to illuminate that challenge for some, but the dimensions of its threat have loomed large in the horizon for many years. Whatever our hopes may be for the future, for reducing this threat or living with it, there is no escaping either the gravity or the totality of its challenge to our survival and to our security. A challenge that confronts us in unaccustomed ways in every sphere of human activity. This deadly challenge imposes upon our society two requirements of direct concern, both to the press and to the president. Two requirements that may seem almost contradictory in tone, but which must be reconciled and fulfilled if we are to meet this national peril. I refer first to the need for far greater public information, and second, to the need for far greater official secrecy. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. But I do ask, every publisher, every editor, and every newsman in the nation to re-examine his own standards and to recognize the nature of our country's peril. In time of war, the government and the press have customarily joined in an effort based largely on self-discipline to prevent unauthorized disclosures to the enemy. In times of clear and present danger, the courts have held that even the privileged rights of the First Amendment must yield to the public's need for national security. Today, no war has been declared, and however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. If the press is awaiting a declaration of war, before it imposes the self-discipline of combat conditions, then I can only say that no war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear, and its presence has never been more imminent. It requires a change in outlook, a change in tactics, a change in missions by the government, by the people, by every businessman or labor leader, and by every newspaper. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. It conducts the Cold War in short. With a wartime discipline, no democracy would ever hope or wish to match. Nevertheless, every democracy recognizes the necessary restraints of national security. And the question remains whether those restraints need to be more strictly observed if we are to oppose this kind of attack as well as outright invasion. For the facts of the matter are that this nation's foes have openly boasted of acquiring through our newspapers information they would otherwise hire agents to acquire through theft, bribery, or espionage, that details of this nation's covert preparations to counter the enemy's covert operations have been available to every newspaper reader, friend and foe alike, that the size, the strength, the location, and the nature of our forces and weapons, and our plans and strategy for their use, have all been pinpointed in the press and other news media to a degree sufficient to satisfy any foreign power, and that in at least one case, the publication of details concerning a secret mechanism whereby satellites were followed required its alteration at the expense of considerable time and money. The newspapers which printed these stories were loyal, patriotic, responsible, and well-meaning. Had we been engaged in open warfare, they undoubtedly would not have published such items. But in the absence of open warfare, they recognized only the tests of journalism and not the tests of national security. And my question tonight is whether additional tests should not now be adopted. That question is for you alone to answer. No public official should answer it for you. No governmental plan should impose its restraints against your will. But I would be failing in my duty to the nation in considering all of the responsibilities that we now bear and all of the means at hand to meet those responsibilities if I did not commend this problem to your attention and urge its thoughtful consideration. On many earlier occasions I have said, and your newspapers have constantly said, that these are times that appeal to every citizen's sense of sacrifice and self-discipline. They call out to every citizen to weigh his rights and comforts against his obligations to the common good. I cannot now believe that those citizens who serve in the newspaper business consider themselves exempt from that appeal. I have no intention of establishing a new office of war information to govern the flow of news. I am not suggesting any new forms of censorship or new types of security classifications. I have no easy answer to the dilemma that I have posed and would not seek to impose it if I had one. But I am asking the members of the newspaper profession and the industry in this country to re-examine their own responsibilities, to consider the degree and the nature of the present danger, and to heed the duty of self-restraint which that danger imposes upon us all. Every newspaper now asks itself, with respect to every story, is it news? All I suggest is that you add the question, is it in the interest of national security? And I hope that every group in America, unions and businessmen and public officials at every level, will ask the same question of their endeavors and subject their actions to this same exacting test. And should the press of America consider and recommend the voluntary assumption of specific new steps or machinery, I can assure you that we will cooperate wholeheartedly with those recommendations. Perhaps there will be no recommendations. Perhaps there is no answer to the dilemma faced by a free and open society in a cold and secret war. In times of peace, any discussion of this subject and any action that results are both painful and without precedent. But this is a time of peace and peril which knows no precedent in history. It is the unprecedented nature of this challenge that also gives rise to your second obligation, an obligation which I share. And that is our obligation to inform and alert the American people, to make certain that they possess all the facts that they need and understand them as well, the perils, the prospects, the purposes of our program and the choices that we face. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security, and we intend to do it. It was early in the 17th century that Francis Bacon remarked on three recent inventions already transforming the world: the compass, gunpowder, and the printing press. Now the links between the nations, first forged by the compass, have made us all citizens of the world, the hopes and threats of one becoming the hopes and threats of us all. In that one world's effort to live together, the evolution of gunpowder to its ultimate limit has warned mankind of the terrible consequences of failure. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be.
I were the devil. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. I just played a long speech from John F. Kennedy. Everybody who knows history knows about, you know, the conspiracies and all the different things that basically came about by one of our presidents being shot. Now, before I go much further, I got to address a comment for Stephen Gibbons in here. He said, not even my imagination can conjure up similarities between Trump and JFK when Trump calls out the Fed and their flat debt, their fiat debt and money creation system, then I would start to worry. But he has backtracked more than Michael Jackson doing a moonwalk. When you realize he's a puppet like all the rest and you need a shoulder to cry on, I will be over here. Alright, well, kind of jumped the gun on that one, my friend, because that wasn't actually where I was going, but that's cool. Anyway, probably will need a shoulder to cry on before it's all over with. Anyway, the situation in this election cycle has gotten pretty well out of hand. It's gotten out of hand pretty much in a lot of different election cycles, but this particular one, it just seems like to continue to get worse. If you listen to that speech that also played after the Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil, and you listen to what he said back in 1965, it's pretty much self-explanatory that you can match it up pretty much word for word what's going on in society today. Well, I posted a couple links over there, one for the chat, one for the speech you just heard, and one for video that was posted about a school in San Antonio. Apparently there was a skit done of a mock assassination of Trump. And if you go out there and scan around on Twitter for a bit, you'll find a few knuckleheads out there. We're talking about somebody needs to assassinate Trump and somebody needs to shoot him or whatever. You know, where's our society deteriorated to when you're talking about running around shooting somebody because your political party didn't get elected in what they say is a fair and democratic process? You know, understandably, if people really realized what was going on in the world, here in the United States, if they actually knew that the United States has never been a democracy. It's always been a representative republic. And that was put in there, the Electoral College was actually put in there for checks and balances so that hopefully you'd get the right party in and so on and so forth. But regardless, the situation has come down to where now we got a person who isn't part of the mainstream, not part of the mainstream process as far as, doggone it, what's the word I'm looking for? The Democrats hate him, the Republicans hate him, and several hundred thousand probably people out there in the election cycle hate him. So, you know, they wanted to try to get a different candidate in there that and herself had a whole lot of problems as well. Now, I can't sit here and tell you that that Donald Trump isn't a puppet of a secret society, because we've all been duped so many times that it wouldn't surprise me none, even if he literally became turned out to be the Antichrist. So for the longest time, and that's still not over yet, I still honestly believe that Obama was the Antichrist. I mean, all the signs and everything that he's done. But the key to this whole doggone deal is propaganda. You know, we've been propagandized so much. These people out there talking about killing off Trump, you know, not only is that illegal to even threaten a sitting president or a president-elect, but it's just disturbing right out of the gate. It's just disturbing. Because if we're ever to have free and fair elections, if these folks can throw a fit every single time somebody gets elected they don't like, then go out and riot and burn down buildings and all that kind of stuff, then you might as well just give the whole election thing up and let whoever wants to be the president get out there and duke it out in the street, and the toughest guy wins, because that's essentially what you're going to end up with. You're going to have situations where pretty much it has been whoever's got the most money, whoever's got control of the media, becomes president. Well, this time around, they had the work cut out for them, because there was something going on out there that they hadn't factored in to the extent that it actually occurred, such as the alternative media, radio stations like this right here talking to people, people talking to people, social media networks, all the different people out there talking about who needs to get elected and who's been committing crimes and so on and so forth. Well, the people heard it all. They stood up. They chose who they wanted. And it could even very well be the case that there might have been like propaganda to make Trump look like he was going to lose, and everybody backs the underdog, and bam, they got their Manchurian candidate in. Nobody knows at this stage in the game, because all the lies and the deceit and craziness going on. But if you can listen to Kennedy's speech before he got shot, you listen to what he said. He explained the situation of the type of government that we're involved in right now. It's not the system that's bad. It's not the system that's broken. Our government was a pretty brilliant brilliant system, the way it has checks and balances, everything from the federal to the state to the local, all the way down to your townships, and even local dog catchers. It is a chain of command, you know. It's a government within a government within a government on down the line until you get to the ultimate government, according to the United States Constitution, which is we the people, the last line of defense, the militia, so to speak. But you listen to what he was saying back in them days. They knew there was problems. They knew there was corruption going on. The secret societies out there, big money makers having their little clubs and everything, and doing what they did in order to manipulate society and make a lot of money, and, you know, just lie and propagandize. Regardless of all that stuff, when you got individuals out there that are basically plotting to get somebody shot, assassinated, however you want to say it, we got problems. You know, when your average Joe is out there posting things on Twitter that this guy needs to be assassinated because they didn't get what they wanted, you know, all the stuff that they've based all their decisions on came off of the mainstream media and even in the alternative media where people had different political points of view and decided that they were going to tell the world that, you know, Donald Trump is a racist, Donald Trump's a xenophobe, a homophobe, and so on and so forth, you know. It twists you up in a knot and gives you a doggone headache to try to sort through all the lies and deceit and propaganda and craziness going on. The only option that I can suggest to people out there is to take everything you have heard out there with a grain of salt and do a heck of a lot of research on your own and find out and verify, you know. Sometimes people will watch a YouTube video and they'll blow their stack before they get halfway through the video and make a comment, and then it comes back around on the end of that video, the answer to their question, if they just would have been patient and paid attention. And then sometimes that people will watch a doggone YouTube video and it'll tell you about a bunch of crazy stuff going on and you get all upset and pass it on as, you know, real news or whatever. I even had that happen to me one time. I got kind of frustrated and there was a satire deal out there. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's a network out there called the Onion News Network. And if you don't know about the Onion News Network and you see these graphics, it looks just like a regular news media like CNN or something like that. And so, you know, when you watch it and you hear all the craziness going on in there and the corruption, and you think this is like a real broadcast and then pass it on, turns out if you were to look down there in that corner, or even in the description for that matter, there's a little onion down there in the bottom. You know, they make a mockery of the news and people fall for it all the time. If you go down and read the comments section and pay attention to what everybody's saying down there, you can also get some sort of idea whether or not this is true or not. You know, you get the view from one side, and then you go look on the opposite side and see what the skeptics or the debunkers are saying, and then you even research that, and then you take all the evidence presented to you and basically do what you would have done in court as a juror. And, you know, make an informed decision. But when you got even celebrities out there tweeting stuff like, well, we need to kill the president, you know, the president-elect, we need to kill Trump. Anybody else from any other time would have had a visit by the Secret Service. They would have been going to jail. It's a crime to threaten the president of the United States. It's a crime to threaten the president-elect of the United States. Why do you think they have a Secret Service group following them around? Because up until the time when they swear in, they're protected. Even when they're got sworn, now they're even more protected. But society's gotten to a stage that is just really disturbing as far as I'm concerned. You know? Some of the views that people have, some of the views that the millennials have, is just mind-blowing. If you want to immigrate to the United States of America, you need to do a little research before you go to America and find out what kind of governmental system that America's founded on. What kind of country is it? You don't get over here and then turn around and throw your flag up. That's not called immigration. That's called invasion. You know, so when you got citizens of the United States, including the same races of individual who had immigrated before, prior to this deal, that are, saying we need to build a wall over there, and a man steps forward and says, I'll build the wall and I'll make them pay for it, you know? Well, you think he ain't going to get votes? They agree with what he says, so it's not nothing about racism. It's about you. If you got a nation and you got boundaries that you call your nation, and there's people just coming across there all day long anytime they want, you don't know who's coming across there, what they're bringing, or anything like that. So, essentially, until the day that people of the world can become enlightened enough to erase all borders and do it in a manner in which it doesn't fall under some one world dictator, then unfortunately we're going to need our Second Amendment. We're going to need our walls. We're going to need our borders until people can get to that point. You can't even get to that point in your own nation. You have people that because their particular candidate didn't get elected, that are going down burning down their own communities. It don't make no sense. Common sense would dictate that if a candidate doesn't get elected, that, you know, he's going to be president anyway, outside of an assassination. But then the next guy in line is going to step up there, so it'll be Pence that'll be up in there. And, you know, is he going to be better than the one you just got rid of? The checks and balances got things in play for just such an emergency. So, with that said, when on the Republican side of the view, when they lost the election, we got a man that we had to deal with for 8 years. We didn't like him. You know, but we didn't go down and burn down our communities, because that's part of the process. Part of the process is the chance that your candidate might not get elected. We've had to deal with all kinds of craziness. You know, for those folks that are, have certain beliefs such as in abortion or, health care, whatever. What you just take any one of the subjects you want. For somebody else to be able to just come in there and force things upon you, force you to buy a product, or force you to go against your religious or political views in order to, make them happy, well, then you're going to have people on the opposite side of the spectrum that ain't going to be too happy about it. So, it's just the way it goes. We can't allow people to run around talking about shooting everybody. You know, it's really not representative of what we the people stand for. It's not representative of what the United States stands for. That's funny. I'm getting distracted over here. Sorry, folks. Anyway, so I posted those two videos to open up a discussion about, you know, John F. Kennedy. Whatever conspiracy you want to throw in there, he was going to buck the system. They didn't like it. And suddenly, he gets assassinated. Well, now you got another guy coming up there. Is he John F. Kennedy? No, he's his own man. But, once again, he's threatening to buck the system. And they don't like it. The people don't like it. Some people don't like it. Some people do like it. You know, I think that him getting elected was a plus for the United States of America. I think that the government and the mainstream media needed a good smacking, a good wake-up call. And that's exactly what they got, because they didn't get their candidate. And now their candidate's over there boo-hooing and trying to figure out a way to steal the election via the Electoral College. It's even came down that there have been death threats made to the Electoral College people. And there's actually a website out there. Two of the conservative candidates who were pledged to vote for the Republican deal are now going to take their vote away. And, they got a website up that they're going to try to get other electorals to roll over as well. Well, if you start doing that, and it becomes the norm, then you're gonna end up having this happen every single election. When somebody doesn't get what they want, whoever has the most money, whoever has the biggest threat, can run up there and scare the electoral votes into voting whichever way they want. Stephen Gibbons posted in there, when you look through the glamour at Trump in his speeches with his red tie and socialist fist pumps, sitting with Hillary at a Jesuit dinner, how the Pope would be proud of him. He is constantly backed by gold in the media, so I predict that he will try to bring an electronic currency backed by gold, which is what they want, as they already control all the gold. Well, I don't know. Honestly, I don't. I don't know if this guy's a for real deal. I don't know if he's another phony, but I'll tell you one thing's for sure. The American people are woke up. And if he doesn't do what he said he was going to do, then it's going to come time when they're going to back the American people in the corner and they're going to pop. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, people these days, they just lay down and they're not going to, they'll just take it. You know, they're just sheeple and so on and so forth. They couldn't be further from the truth. Because I know people that from just in my general area alone, I know people from all over the United States who are just like sick and tired of all the whole doggone smear. They're tired of all the taxes. They're tired of all the corruption. They're tired of abuse of authority. And it's to the point where if you let's talk to the average Joe, they're building their bunkers. They're getting ready for the apocalypse. They're stocking up on stuff. You know? They got people, doggone it. Hold on here a second. There we go.
Yeah.
Hello.
I was trying to call.
You're so live.
I'm going to add him in here for you.
All right. You're live on air.
We won't have a round table today since there's only three of us, but we'll have a triangle.
A trisangle table?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway... Now, all these conspiracies are going to continue to go on and on and on and on. It'd be like Pete, if Pete and Repeat were in a boat and Pete fell out, who'd be left? And it's about time that, you know, you can only do this so long. It's kind of like that fool me once, shame on you, or fool me twice, shame on me, or whatever. It's to the point where we've been fooled so many doggone times, we don't even know who to trust, and everybody's out looking like, you know, all right, if this is going to be a free-for-all, I'm getting mine, I'm getting ready. That's what's going on. Somebody mentioned to me about military coming around rounding up doggone firearms and stuff. Look, I'm a hardcore patriot. I believe in the United States Constitution and the freedom of rights, freedom of speech, and the Second Amendment, and all the rights there within that piece of paper. You know, I was a military man, and my family, I come from a long line of people who served this country, and I'm not going to stand idly by, even if it costs me my life. I'm not going to stand idly by while this occurs. So, you know, better go to somebody else's house first. Somebody who's going to lay down, because you're going to get resistance when you show up over here. That's all there is to it. And I got a lot of family members who are in the same state of mind. And as far as the government agencies listening in and the media or whatever, you know, you're the ones that propagandized us. You're the one who tested the limits of what people can handle and what they can't. You're the one to put the psychological operation in play. And so if you don't like the results that you're going to get out of this deal, so be it. Now, George Soros and guys like that up there who's up there trying to destabilize nations and using their fortunes to manipulate everything out there, they're loving every minute of it. You know, whether Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump ends up being secret society deals, that's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter, because the American people's gotten to the point right now which, you know, these can't. Hillary didn't get in there for a reason. You know, people didn't go to the polls on masses for a reason. They went to the polls because Donald Trump said what they were thinking. And so if you take what Donald Trump was saying, what they were thinking, then you'll know the true state of mind of the American people. And if Donald Trump doesn't keep his word to what he said he's going to do, it'll be the shortest presidency in the history of time. So that's the way the American people are right now. That's where we stand. And all these conspiracies about secret government, secret societies, and all this kind of stuff, hey, it's irrelevant at this point. Right now, the United States of America is ticking time bomb. People like George Soros is probably enjoying every second of it, because right now the United States citizens are literally on the verge of civil war, of implosion. When you got knuckleheads out there burning down their own doggone communities, shouting out the same propaganda that the dang news media just told them about, and even in the alternative media, guys like the Young Turks up there foul-mouthing, and that's society, man. That's what we're dealing with. And it just don't stop. I saw a show where Alex Jones and one of the Young Turks was basically getting into a feud in a at a convention, at the RNC convention. They had all these different booths set up for all the different medias, and they were, you know, building little mini stages there, and you see this big show go on. And that's exactly what it probably was a big show. These guys fighting against each other and then going out drinking after the cameras are off, you know. The all-star wrestling or whatever. Regardless of the outcome, we're at a stage in the game where the people are so incredibly frustrated. If somebody assassinates Trump, all hell's going to break loose. It's as simple as that. If somehow or another Hillary's able to steal the election via the doggone electoral college, same thing, all hell's going to break loose. You know, I've had people tell me time and time again, I'm standing on the soapbox. I can't tell you anything in this world that I find more offensive than those words. It just offends me to unlimited extent. Because if I'm standing here and I'm talking common sense, I'm hoping beyond all hope that somebody out there has enough common sense to understand what it is I'm saying, and if they believe in what I'm saying, they're going to put it over to their social media networks. And if anybody on that side of the fence has common sense, then we can get some messages sent around this world to tell the people, you know, you got to get your act together. You got to stop falling for all this craziness. You know, there's still, to this day, a big conspiracy about JFK getting shot. And if Donald Trump ends up having the same thing happen to him, it's going to be another one to boot. It's going to continue to go on. But at this stage in the game, where everybody's got their finger on the trigger already, you're looking at it. You're looking at the second revolution here in the United States. And for those folks out there that think that they're going to come rolling in and with their UN troops and the military and be able to get order and stuff like that, I got news for you. It ain't going to happen like that. And basically, outside of an all-out thermal nuclear war that destroys the entirety of the United States, you're not going to get your way on this process. A long time ago, our countries adopted mutual assured destruction, which means we'd rather burn it down than give it to you. As selfish as that might sound, both sides agreed. Mutual assured destruction. We're going to launch everything we got at you. You're going to launch everything we got at us. And ain't going to be nothing left. So go ahead and try it. Why do you think we're not in the middle of World War III yet? Because they know where it's going. They know where it's leading. World War III at this point in the game is going on. But it's not the World War III that you thought. It's an information war. It's a propaganda war. It's insane. The Middle East is still in an uproar. There's still things going on all over. There's still supposedly a terrorist behind every bush. There's still corrupt people in government. And there probably always will be until the American people figure out a way in order to take away their true power, which is the almighty dollar. So, Thomas or Raymond, you got any thoughts on all that? No?
I've had them just about all of it. No, the people just calm down. and just say to heck with it and go on, business as usual, things would work themselves out. Let the politicians work it out. You know, the common people, the people that vote, whatever, you don't need to be on the daggone streets protesting this and protesting that. You don't need to be hating your daggone neighbor simply because he didn't think the way you do. I mean, you know, come on, people. Calm down. Act like you're civilized.
Well, it's a lot of the stuff that's going on are the newest, youngest groups to the country, which is the millennials, and then some of the immigrants that aren't necessarily documented just yet, right? And so when they've been told that, like on the immigration side, when they get told that them and their family is going to get shipped back across the border, of course they're going to be upset. When the other ones are, bleeding heart liberals that say, screw the law, we got to help these people out. Well, that's what's going on, man. They've been told, both sides of those kids out there have been told that this guy is like Adolf Hitler and he's going to ship everybody across the borders. And what was even crazier than that, they didn't leave it just that. They said he was going to ship African Americans back to Africa.
That's ridiculous. But that
was actually said out there. He wants to ship the blacks back to Africa.
Or did somebody else put the words in his mouth? That's media for you.
Donald Trump never said nothing even remotely like that. They just made it up. It was a flat out lie, just like all this other craziness. But you got a media who's running around pretty much pointing a gun at the people's faces, right? Pretty much, it's like the Jerry Springer effect. You know, you get this guy mad at that guy because they got two different opinions. You tell this guy that guy said something or did something, and now you got them fighting with each other. Well,
the only thing I could see prejudice about Trump, and it's true prejudice too, because I've got the same one. I'm prejudiced toward the color green, especially the shade on money. I love it. And that's what he's all about. He's all about money. And what he wants to do is straighten this dead-old country out.
Well,
that's all the man wants to do. He's prejudiced toward money, and he wants everybody to share. That's the way true capitalism works. You can't make money, honestly, without helping somebody else make a lot of money also. Come on.
The people want the situation to be repaired. The people are tired of the doggone craziness, the corruption, man, the scandals.
Come on. I mean, the only people that are really complaining are those that are getting free stuff from the government. And I got news for you. It's not free. It's the working class people that actually work, get pay taxes to pay for your free stuff.
Well, you know, on one hand, as far as like the college portion of the deal, I can agree that the college portion of the deal is, for one, it shouldn't cost thousands of dollars to go to school. You know, well, what is that college doing that requires thousands and thousands of dollars per student to be able to go to school? Essentially, if you want to go to school, do you pay for all their utilities and their corporate jets and their doggone new buildings and all that kind of stuff? Is there worth thousands and thousands of dollars come from an education? How many thousands of dollars does it cost to go to a public college?
Last I heard was $60,000 to $70,000 a year.
To go to a public college?
Yes.
What a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Sorry, you said public college. That's about $30,000 or $40,000 a year.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Why would it cost $30,000 or $40,000 a year just to go to public college? You know, colleges, as far as I'm concerned, should be free and basically, supplemented. As far as we the people say, because these colleges are going to be free, we will pay the teacher salaries and the upkeep on the buildings and stuff like that. You know, but $30,000 for 1 year of school, That's ridiculous, man. And if you want to go to a private college, you're probably looking at 10 times that. So you get your fancy croutons in the morning, you know?
You know, the majority of the demonstrators that you see are young college people.
Yeah.
But if you look at carrying flags of other countries in the United States, what does that tell you?
Well,
what does that tell? They're here illegal getting government money.
They took...
But yet they're going to protest? Come on.
They took the First Amendment. They took the First Amendment and used the First Amendment as an excuse to say just the filthiest, disrespectful things to people. You know? And imagine this. Imagine this. Hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Imagine this. All right? Now, they take the First Amendment to do things that are really super offensive. All right? And basically go out and protest and create a heck of a ruckus. Now, if you imagine if the people who wanted to protest believed in the Second Amendment and they went out there and started offending people and threatening them with their firearms and stuff. You see what I'm trying to point out here?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, those words that they're putting out there, those offensive things that they're putting out there, are just as dangerous as somebody out there protesting the Second Amendment, sticking a gun on the tip of somebody's nose. Because you get people riled up with your protests and all those stupid little chants that they like to stand out there and say, that's dangerous. Now you get people mad, and when the police come in here to try to put order again, now they're fighting with the police and each other, and then just dominoes.
It's actually disgraceful.
Yeah, it is.
Totally disgraceful that Americans would even allow this to happen.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, you're going to come to America and then throw up the Mexican flag? You know...
the American flag. Take it down from a flagpole on a high school grounds. Take it down. Stomp on it. Pee on it. Urinate on it. Spit on it. Burn it. And then run the Mexican flag up. If you'd have done that in Mexico, take down a Mexican flag and do all that to it, before you could get your matches out, you would have been shot by the police.
Yep.
Yet no, military guy tried to stop the crowd from doing it. A police officer came up and grabbed him and told them if he kept up going, they was going to arrest him.
Well, the thing is,
arrest a citizen trying to stop people from burning, urinating on the American flag. Come on, people.
The thing is that
we disgraceful.
That when you talk about freedom of speech and you talk about immigration, you know, immigration is you come to a country and you follow their rules and you basically merge into society, and that's immigration. When you take and come to another country that you supposedly want to come for freedom and then you put up your own flag, that's not immigration. That's called invasion. All right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And when you got people who have been lived here all their lives and they see you popping your flag up and pulling your flag down and burning it and then popping yours up, that's a sign of war, man. That's as plain and simple as that. You think that if a bunch of American kids went over to Mexico like you just described, Raymond, and did that, you think that they would fare so well?
Not one of them would be alive in 2 hours. Not one.
That's the whole thing, man.
Handle it. They would not take care. But yet they think they can come up here and do it. They don't think. They know it. They've done it. Nobody stopped them.
What disgusts me worse than that is people who already are citizens that are standing by and taking part in this kind of deal. You know?
Yes.
I understand your grievance with the government, but when you take your rights and you use your rights in an offensive manner just to go out there and try to make people upset, you know, then that's a whole different story. That's not exercising your rights. That's actually coming out there to attack somebody, you know, attack their beliefs or their views. When you see videos of Trump protesters getting beat up by, you know, a bunch of Mexican kids or even the Black Lives Matter crew or whatever, and, you know, run around and because they want to elect Trump, suddenly they're a racist and they deserve a beating? Where's their First Amendment? Where is their right to security and freedom? You see what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the hypocrisy off the left-hand side of the fence right there. Is we'll call you a racist, but you don't call us a racist. We'll tell you what we want, and you just follow. And if we don't get what we want, we'll throw a fit until we do.
Right.
That's where that whole no justice, no peace thing came down. You got a guy who went into a store and strong-arm robbed the store. Then he goes out, and the cop tells him to stop, and he turns around and attacks the cop. Well, then he gets shot. Suddenly, he is this upstanding citizen who'd never done anything wrong, good-hearted giant that was just so wonderful, and he ended up, there was protest after protest out of that. Well, look what they did in Ferguson, Missouri, man. They made a mess out of their own community.
No mother should be live in fear of her son being shot while robbing a store.
Yeah.
Come on. Great. I saw that sign in a demonstration somewhere. No mother live in fear every time her son robs a store.
The whole thing is, where did all this mentality come from that it's all right to go out and burn down your own community?
Exactly.
Where did all this racist and homophobe and xenophobe? Look.
That's nothing but a bunch of animals using some political situation for an excuse to steal. That's all it is. An excuse for thieves to steal.
You know, if you want to be gay, be gay. If you want to be transgender, be transgender. But don't go around and shove it in everybody's face. Don't try to, force your way of life on everybody. Maybe we don't agree, but maybe we can just walk away and agree to disagree in a peaceful manner. But because you feel like that the society isn't bending to your will, and you decide you want to go down and protest and burn the community or, do offensive things to different religious views or whatever, you're not exercising your First Amendment anymore. You're inciting a riot,
Exactly.
Eventually, good people are going to get fed up with being called racist. Eventually, good people are going to get fed up with being called homophobes or xenophobes or whatever. Eventually, your words, just like the daggers that they are, is going to get a reaction. And that reaction that comes about, I even heard while I'm listening to some of these videos out there where they were talking about how the DNC, the guys, the ones that Project Veritas did, and they're talking about how, you might go there and wearing a sign, abortion sign or shirt or whatever, that you're trying to get a reaction. You're trying to get one of the Trump people to punch you in the face. Well, if you get punched in the face for having something offensive, you utilized your First Amendment for your freedom of speech, you get the right to say anything you want. But that's not going to guarantee you that you're not going to have repercussions for what you just said. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, what happens when all the Trump guys and gals decide they're fed up with all this craziness and they go down through town and start knocking some heads? Suddenly, now the people who were out there protesting, beating everybody else up, are now the victims.
Right.
You see what I mean?
So I guarantee you they were going to cry really loud and hard.
Hold on a second.
That's why I advocate Donald Trump supporters stand down and let these idiots show their true colors.
Well, they are. The media's been called out. The government's been called out. This was a big wake-up call. It backfired in George Soros' face. George Soros thinks that he's going to start a second revolution here in the United States and destabilize the United States, and they're going to be able to move in their one-world government system. But what is going to end up, they're going to end up failing. Worst-case scenario, we end up with the equivalence of what you see over in the Middle East right here in the United States for the next 2,000 years, because I guarantee you, folks, that there ain't no way There ain't no way once the second Civil War starts here in the United States that they will ever get control of it ever again. They won't. Because everyone out here who knows what patriotism is about, everyone out here who's tasted freedom, is not going to stand idly by. Outside of some sort of mass genocide where they fly over the top of the America and kill off all the people and have all their people on the other side where they're perfectly safe until the poison wears off. Outside of some big old thermonuclear conflict, you're not going to take America out with any standing army or any government laws or whatever. When the laws become too oppressive, the people out there will revolt. And when they revolt and it starts, when the second Civil War starts, you might as well just hang this piece of ground up as no man's land and never come here again because it won't be pretty. That's a fact.
That is a fact. It won't be pretty. People need to stand down.
Well,
I mean, both sides, Trump and Hillary supporters, stand down.
If you were the devil, then you'd be enjoying every minute of this. If you were George Soros, you'd be enjoying every minute of this. But see, the difference between the devil and George Soros, unless they're one and the same, is George Soros is doing it for an agenda to get more money and more power and just be able to manipulate society in general. Whether all these secret societies are involved, or the United Nations, or the trilateral communities, or whatever convention, I don't know even what they're called anymore. Their plan to bring about a one world government is backfiring in their face. You know, when I sit back and I think about Donald Trump, I think about the Antichrist of the Bible. And I'm not saying Donald Trump's the Antichrist, but what I think about is that when they talk about all this oppression going on, and then some guy, a dark horse, comes up out of the background and says, "Yeah, you know, I got this. I'll take care of it. I'll fix it all. We'll bring peace and prosperity." And then once they say peace, then suddenly you have war. I hope that's not the case. But at the same sense, even though I supported and voted for Donald Trump, I'm keeping my eyes open, just like everyone else here in America should be keeping their eyes open to ensure that what he said, he's going to do. You understand what I'm saying?
But at the same time, I'll tell you something. If he had lost and the Trump supporters were doing what the Hillary supporters are doing, I would be ashamed. I would be absolutely ashamed that I voted for him.
Yeah.
I had voted for Hillary Clinton. Right now, I would be crying in shame that I supported her.
Well, the whole deal is, if this is the way that every election from this point on is going to go, then it's common sense would tell you that it's just going to get worse and worse and worse every time around. It's going to get so bad that
these people aren't even giving Trump a chance. They've already made up their mind. And, well, and they're rioting and looting. This is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm 72 years old. I've seen bad times, but I've never seen anything quite this bad.
Even Fox News, who all the liberals profess to hate, right? Even Fox News was for Hillary. Now, they're not going to come out and say, yeah, they were for Hillary. Now, you hear Sean Hannity on there talking about how Hillary needs to go to jail and all that, but it's kind of like, you know, if you're a conservative site and you got a guy like Juan Williams on there talking just ridiculousness every time he opens his mouth, then that ought to be a first red flag for people watching that, because it's not fair and balanced and it's not conservative when you got kind of lies and propaganda being able to be said on radio. Now, unless Juan was able to verify everything that come up out of his mouth, then he shouldn't be saying it on the doggone news. Now, because now you're putting a seed of doubt in even the people who are conservatives watching it. And this is the game that they play with people. You know, you get, go watch ABC or MSNBC and watch their tactics on how they will invite somebody on there with an opposing view and literally attack them, you know, and make them seem stupid or racist or whatever. On Fox, Fox got popular because they were saying what the people wanted to hear, right? But then at the same time, they had their left-leaning slant. Like Megyn Kelly out there. Did you see the look on her face whenever Trump won the election? She wasn't pleased. All right? Now, that's supposedly a conservative, fair and balanced TV show. And even they have been caught in lies. So,
have their shows? Okay, so she was a Hillary supporter. Okay, the election's over. It's over. The decision has been made.
Yeah.
From the 306 electoral votes, it only takes 270 to win.
But see, they're still running an election. The man's already been chosen. They're still running an election. They're still running the stories that want to make it sound like he's a bad guy. He's already making bad choices. He picked this guy who's supposedly a racist and so on and so forth. You know, and when they do that, it just kind of adds to the frustration. Thomas came in and talked to me one day here recently, and he said, he asked me if I was still watching those videos, because he could tell that those videos were getting me frustrated, and they were. You know, stop watching those videos. You know, I want to know what's going on out there in the world.
What they have to do is frustrate people.
Yeah, it's exactly what they're designed to do.
But I just tweeted over 200 stupid emails on the riots and the election crap. I don't even want to listen to this crap anymore. You know, I've got important things to do. I've got my life to live. And these people, they need to go on and live their life.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same sense, when the house is burning down, we got to get a bucket. You know, if the house is burning down, you need a bucket, Thomas needs a bucket, I need a bucket, we need to try to put the bucket brigade together and put the fire out before it gets started, because while we're out here trying to go about our life and get things accomplished, we got other people trying to burn down. It's like building a castle. I seen this video game one time, I can't remember the name of it, but it's about building castles. So you go there and you start building your castles, and you can actually pay people to come around and you know, help you out. And if you're a tyrant, then they will basically start tearing down your castle. So while we're over here trying to build the castle, we got the enemy at the back of the castle tearing down what we done on that side, and then we got to go back around and start over again, try to build it back up. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is why we got to have shows like the Knights of the Round Table, try to send some common sense ripples out there. Right now, as I speak, there are other talk radio hosts in multitudes of different networks that are shouting out common sense. All the folks that have the words of wisdom and common sense are on the radio right now shouting to the people, trying to keep them awake so that they don't become complacent and go back to sleep and not pay attention to what just occurred. Now, Donald Trump's going to be your president. We need to keep an eye on him. We need to hold his feet to the fire. We need to put a body cam on, like Thomas said. You know? So he's held accountable for his actions or whatever. Whatever the case may be, the American people and the people of the world can't afford to go back to sleep right now. Otherwise, we're going to wake up, and they will be at our door with the armies trying to take away our firearms here in the U.S. or whatever, you know. The youth out there tearing down the doggone community. I made a comment on a YouTube video here recently, and I'm not a violent individual, Raymond. You know that. I don't try to get violent with nobody. I'm all for peace, hope, and love kind of deal.
I know.
But when I do get mad, I get mad, and I'll say it how it is. But I put a comment on the video, and I said, you know, what really needs to happen? They need to go in there with the police department. I said the conservatives need to basically stand back, like you said, and they need to take the police department in there with overwhelming force and send these kids back home or to jail.
Yeah, you said the secret word, kids. They have no idea what they're doing.
Yep.
They listen to the media. They get the wrong information, and they explode. And all they can think about is violence.
In most of the states and most of the country here in the United States, it is illegal to run into a crowded theater and shout fire. You know why? Well,
what?
Because you go in and shout fire, and people start rushing up out of the doggone theater and trample each other, and people get hurt and even potentially killed from that process. Now, why is it illegal for you to run into a theater and shout fire for amusement when the doggone mainstream media is out there shouting fire in a crowded country for amusement? Right.
For amusement?
Yeah. So the doggone mainstream media needs to be held legally and liably accountable for the things that they spew out on the dang mainstream media. And if it's government news, if it's a government-run agency, then people have to get to the point where, like, this alternative media platform right now, which, to me, the Internet was their Achilles heel. Once they opened up the Pandora's box with the Internet and allowed people to have social media networks, they lost control. And now they're trying to get back control by sending their little shills and propagandists and trolls throughout all the alternative media trying to make everybody seem like they're stupid. You know how many times we've been attacked on this network? Many times. And every time we get even remotely close to what the truth is, we get attacked. You know? So
most of the attacks are because somebody misunderstood what we were saying.
Yeah.
Misunderstood what we were saying. There you go.
Stephen Gibbons said in the 21st century, colleges are redundant. Instead of paying thousands of dollars to learn a subject and get piece of paper, pay for an internet connection and learn what you want. Yeah, that's where I see school eventually going. You know, with all these so-called school shootings, whether they are or are not occurring, that's another conspiracy out there. But at some point in time, you know, homeschooling is going to become the norm. Everyone who has an internet connection will just tap into the internet and find the information that their parents want them to learn, and that's that. You know? But once again, you gotta proceed with caution, because even after on the internet, like Wikipedia, a lot of people go to Wikipedia articles, but Wikipedia articles are skewed to a bias. They will only allow on there what they deem to be right or wrong. Get on there and put it anything that they don't agree with, that they will basically delete your writings. That's the way it works. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt. History in the books is usually written by the victor of conflicts. History on the internet is written by whoever has control of whichever website you're on. You see what I mean?
Right. Yes. You just said a mouthful then, partner.
Yep. So you got to be careful. Thomas, you got any thoughts on the matter? Yeah, I think he's in the other room having a conversation. He's all right. But either way, man, that's the reason why I posted these links about JFK and Trump, because something's going on, whether it's shenanigans, whether they're trying to get everybody to think that Trump is going to, like the assassination attempt that they said. Well, it turns out the man didn't even have a gun, but regardless, they rushed him off the stage and made a big to-do about it. But when I was watching that particular episode, I had the feeling in my gut that it was staged, that it was phony, you know, just the actions of it. It didn't feel real when he was doing it. You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I saw it. I watched it several times, and I didn't see anything about it fake.
Well, to me, I'm just saying, everybody has their own perception, but for me, when I watched it, it seemed to be too scripted. It didn't seem to be like a real event. Now, people react in different ways as far as whenever certain circumstances. I might just stand there like a stupid guy and ask everybody questions. What's going on, you know, while they're trying to rush me off the stage?
Which would make it look like it was fake. But in reality, that's just about what would happen. Somebody hollers gun. A few people around him hear him. Nobody else does. So all of a sudden there's a commotion as they drag him to the floor, and everybody's like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Or maybe he was that guy that doesn't smoke, so he doesn't have a cigarette lighter with him, but he's in the theater and he just wants to see a lot of people get excited, so he just hollers, fire! And everybody jumps up and starts running and trampling over each other, and he gets back there laughing like crazy because he knows there's no fire.
Yep.
I got a sneaky feeling that's just about what it was. some idiot wanting to see a big reaction, but he got it.
Yeah, you know, that could very well be the case.
People do stupid things. If you don't believe people do stupid things, then you don't believe what you've been saying about all these riots and lootings and demonstrations. People do stupid things.
Well, as far as my opinion on whether or not I believe that particular video was staged or whatever. Once again, I gotta say, I have no idea, because, you know, there's already videos out there about it being a hoax, you know? And so, you gotta be cautious whenever you start talking about, you know, events as if they really happened. Maybe we did go to the moon, maybe we didn't go to the moon. I don't know, I wasn't there. But I'm not gonna go around telling everybody 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt we went to the moon when I have questions, and this is the key to the whole tipping of reality. When people give you a seed of doubt on one side and a nugget of truth on the other side to make you not sure, you know, it's like those doggone deals that put clickbait up for UFO people, and even on TV they do it on where they do a documentary on flying saucers. Well, they'll go through all this stuff and make it look like, wow, yeah, there's really a possibility that there might be flying saucers visiting us from space. But then once they get down to the very end of it, even on the conspiracy theory channels and all the other documentaries about secret societies or hidden histories or stuff like that, when they get right down to the end of it before the show's over, they'll put that little seed of doubt in your mind so that you're like, you know, you don't know. You have no more answers now than you had before you started watching the show. You see what I mean?
Yep.
You're either gonna find UFO evidence and present it to me directly, or you're going to say that there's a possibility and then give me some sort of doubt at the end of it whether or not what you just said was true or not. Whether it, basically, make up the choice for yourself is what they're saying at the end. Do you believe it or do you don't believe it? I hate that. I want truth. Everybody wants truth. I don't want to be propagandized and then say make up your own decision at the end of it. Now, that sounds kind of contradictory to what I just said earlier, where I said, check out the evidence out there, check out the opposing view, step back and make your own decision. What occurred in the situation where they showed that video was, it was a deliberate attempt to make you question what you said or what you heard. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And Stephen Gibbons posted in there, at least on the internet, you are presented both sides of the argument, unlike colleges, academia, and you can try to understand a subject for yourself and come to your own conclusion. See, that's it. That's the point. That's why when they opened Pandora's box, they pretty much screwed themselves. Because now the average Joe can talk to the average Joe. The average Joe can have a part in the media. The average Joe can get out there and research and start putting that research out. And the court of public opinion, if you get on the internet and start lying and deceiving people, you'll get caught. Because there's really good researchers out there that will say, oh no, hold on, that ain't what was said, you know. And they'll put out a debunking video. Next thing you know, your subscribership goes down because everybody knows you can't be trusted.
Right.
Well, that's what they need on the mainstream media. They need more competition for the mainstream media so that when these folks are out there lying, these folks are out there proving it that they're lying. And then we wouldn't have so much trouble in society, because people, you know, people are these days, unfortunately, and I hate to say it because it sounds rude, but people these days are lazy. They'd rather hear it on TV than read the book. You know?
Right.
So, some people like to read, some people don't like to read. Some people just want to be showed the story and the pictures and everything like that, and then they make their decision from it. Well, if you're a really brilliant individual, You can make a video with pictures and make a documentary that sounds so convincing and, you know, it's mixed with a little bit of truth and a whole lot of lie and some just flat out shenanigans, and the average Joe watching it, well, this looks plausible. I think we really did go to the moon on a sled. You know? When I say sled, I'm talking about one of them old type sleds like they used to ride down the doggone hill.
Yeah.
There's people that'll believe it.
Yep. Like I said, people do stupid things.
Well, we got to get common sense to grow, man. We got to cultivate common sense throughout the world. You know, we got to question the norm. Is Donald Trump anything like JFK? No, but the situation is appearing to be, at least by portrayed to be by alternative media and mainstream media, like the potential that he could be assassinated because he's bucking the system. Alright? You can't buck the system for the wealthy out there without getting some sort of results. If you go back and look through the Clinton history, according to the alternative media, they left a body trail all the way back to Arkansas. You know? So, if you disagreed with them, you got shot. In the government, if people didn't like what you said, suddenly you had a suicide that was kind of questionable. The man fell on his own knife 30 times by accident.
Oh, God.
Or he shot himself in the back of the head by accident.
Right.
He died of carbon monoxide poisoning, but he's got a bullet hole in his head.
Right.
You know, I don't think I need to point out the ridiculousness of the whole situation. I mean, it's ridiculous. The people out there that... you go up to some of these individuals, I was listening to some communist group, and this one lady from InfoWars was trying to talk to them. Every time they didn't have something to come back at her, they would jump on the deal, well, Alex Jones got a black eye, you know, and they kept repeating that. Alex Jones got a black eye, you know, and they wouldn't talk to nobody. And she asked them why they keep covering their face up. They had their face covered up by a scarf, you know. You don't. You guys planning on going out committing crimes or something? You don't want nobody to know who you are? They wanted to anonymously stand out there and protest. Well, my thing is, if you believe so wholeheartedly in your protest, why be ashamed of who you are? You see what I mean? For fear of retribution? Somebody might know who you are? In case you get out of hand and break something, you got to cover your face up? Go ahead and look at all these protests out there and see how many people got their face covered up. They got ski masks on. And now, even some of the law enforcement got ski masks on. Because they don't want you to know who they are. Are they going to do something wrong to you? We've been told all this time that terrorists basically dress like that. Right? So now you got terrorists on the civilian side running around protesting. You got terrorists on the police side. I mean, that's the perception I get when I look at it. You see these guys all dressed in black with ski masks on. They look like Nazi stormtroopers. If you go back and look at history at the what do they call it, the Gestapo or the
SS?
Huh?
The SS and the Gestapo.
Yeah. They look a lot alike. They had the same type of helmets. Was that intentionally for fear?
The only difference was the insignia on the shoulder.
Yeah. Well, folks, you gotta exercise common sense. And sometimes they say out there, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, there's a good chance it is a duck. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Huh?
With a chance.
Yeah.
But if it has fur and not feathers, it couldn't be. It's not a duck. It's a platypus duck, Bill. I had to throw that in there. Sorry about it.
Well, yesterday Thomas was shooting chiduckins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on a video game. He said they're part chicken and part ducks, and he was running around shooting them so he'd have some food.
country, though.
It's weird. But, yeah. Hey. Anyway, I hope nobody tries to assassinate Trump. And I hope that this all moves along peacefully. I hope that these folks out there burning down their own communities come to some common sense before they start off the second revolution, because you know what's going to happen, right? These folks out there protesting, the one that want to bring about a revolution,
they're breaking the law.
They're going to be the first ones on the target, man. Not only by the government, but by the citizens who are fed up. It would suck to be the doggone mainstream media if a second civil war kicks out. They're going to think they're going to go out there and videotape it and show the world what's what. But they're going to be targets. Government officials will be targets. It won't be pretty, folks. If their second revolution ever occurs here in the United States, you might as well just write this place off as no man's land for the next couple thousand years.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. So we're trying to nip it in the bud. We're trying to stop it before it ever even starts.
Both sides need to stand down. Not everybody's going crazy. But if you have just half a brain, half common sense, stand down. I don't care if you're Hillary or a Trump supporter. Stand down. Let the idiots stand up and get shot. And you don't do the shooting. You let the law take care of it. They're going to come in at first with rubber bullets. When they do, the idiots are going to come back with real bullets, and then the law will have no choice but to go in with real bullets.
Yep,
it hurts you to bet. Screw the rubber bullets. The rubber bullets, let's get paintballs. They hurt just as bad, and they also mark targets so that you can, 3 blocks down the road, you know they were in the riot.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We were having a conversation. I think we was having a conversation off air. They need to have some of that UV paint marker stuff that they use in banks, so that if you go and rob a bank and you open up the bag, one of them things explodes and puts that dye all over you, and there's no way you can say you weren't there.
Exactly.
Puts it all over the money, too, so you can't use it.
Puts it on the money, too. That's what they need to do, man. Go out there and mark the violent protesters so that you know who they are. You know, I don't advocate violence. I don't want anybody to get hurt. But you got some folks out there trying to break down society. You know, you're counterproductive to what you're sitting there on one hand protesting the violence of the government, but you're out there being violent.
There you go.
But
now you set up a fool.
If, you know, the violence thing in the Constitution under the Second Amendment was a worst case scenario. I mean, the Second Amendment wasn't there to protect us against bad guys and terrorists. The Second Amendment was to protect us against a tyrannical government, saying that, you know, if in worst case scenario we can't get things resolved the right way, then we're just going to have to go the hard way. And that's not what
we
want.
That's just it. It's actually there to protect us from the bad guys. And what you're kind of missed there is that it's actually there for the bad guys, no matter who they are.
Yeah.
Even if it's your government, even if it's people in your government, if your government becomes corrupt, yeah, overthrow it and rebuild it the way it should have been the first time. Just like they did whenever they were being terrorized by King George?
I can't even remember.
Anyway, whatever King of England was, you know, basically terrorizing them with the, what was it, 2 or 3% tax on their tea?
Yeah, what do you think they would feel like today with the tax we got?
Man.
The American people have been pretty much passive for all this time. They didn't like it, but they didn't go out and tear down their communities. They kept on going to work. They complained, and they tried to lobby their representatives to do the right thing. And it's going to come a point in time when you can only tax people so far. When people's families start to suffer worse than they are now, you know, American people are going to snap. And for all these youngins out there trying to do the things that they're doing and think they're going to show their butt and get what they want, you're going to bite off more than you can chew. And it's as simple as that. Because guys as old as Raymond and guys as old as me, we still know what it was like back in the day.
Well, here's the thing, too. If you look at the American Revolution as an example, Boston Tea Party, they went crazy and tore up and destroyed a bunch of businesses' property out in that harbor. What did that end up leading to, though? You're not getting our tax money. We don't care if you want to send troops to try to take it from us. We're going to fight you tooth and nail. You're not getting any money from us anymore, and that's what led to the revolution, the fighting. So we're starting with more rioting now. What's going to come next, most likely, if we follow that same path, is that people are going to start refusing to give any tax money to the government, and there's where your civil war is going to come into being, only it'll be the government versus the American people. And you're going to have brother against brother, where one's willing to pay their taxes and one's not.
Yep.
Sister against sister. Oh, I'll pay my taxes because I believe in the government and what they're doing, versus the people that are like, no, I don't believe in it. I'm not paying them. And they're going to be at each other's throats, and they're going to be unfriending each other and shooting each other whenever they see them in the street and whatnot, calling them sympathizers or calling them traitors, you know?
Well, prime example is the doggone... what's going on with the Hillary supporters, or even the Bernie supporters for that matter? They're just the ones that don't like Trump, anti-Trump supporters, whatever. You know, some of the people that they are related to probably voted for Trump. And
actually, there are a lot of Bernie supporters that did vote for Trump. I've seen it in Facebook, people talking about it, you know. If you can take what they're saying at face value, they were die hard whenever Bernie and Hillary were going at it for Bernie, trying to get him in there, and then when he failed, they went and turned around and flipped over and said, I don't like it, but I'm going with Trump because I'm not voting for Hillary.
Yeah.
You know.
The point is that these folks are now fighting amongst each other, you know.
When the media's got them terrified that they're going to, you know, their whole life is going to come to an end. Some of them are, you know, in such a pickle that the only way that they can survive.
Yeah, there's videos out there.
From government help to get their, you know, their medication and stuff like that to try to get well again. Of course, they're going to doctors who are basically just, you know, keeping them alive. They're not actually curing anything for them, so they're going to continue to be stuck on the system. If they just get off their butt and solve the problem so that those people could be well, they'd be right back off the system and back into the fire working, making more value for the country.
You know, there's videos out there where you can literally see that these were posted by individuals out there who are really emotionally they're crying and all this and getting angry because Trump got elected. They honestly believe they're going to be, or their family's going to be basically evicted from the country, you know. And I even seen it where some of the liberals out there were trying to... You know, you can insinuate something without actually saying something. There were some liberal media guys out there that were saying stuff like that Trump wants to put everyone back into slavery. Now, seriously, you got to have some doggone common sense. You honestly believe that they're going to put people in shackles and have slaves like they did back in the old days in modern day time?
What are you talking about, man? They already are.
No, I'm talking about...
Corporations have been enslaving people
for
dollars
sure.
This whole time.
They
have changed the definition of slave.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about in that sense. I'm talking about
I know.
You got a slave owner, a master, or whatever. You could sell people on the street. That's what I'm talking about. Do you honestly think that in today's modern society that people who are in biracial relationships or, you know, people who had been born of biracial relationships and even white America, who a large majority voted for Barack Hussein Obama for president not once but twice, if it wasn't a rigged election to begin with. You honestly think that America today... would allow that to go on back then? If you do believe that, then you really seriously need to get some better education or shut off the videos that you've been watching, because it ain't ever going to happen. Now, as far as the corporate slavery like he's talking about, we're all the same slaves in that system.
Yep.
We're all slaves to the money.
They set up a system where one person can steal the value of another person.
Yep.
When you end that, that's when you're going to start seeing the economy springing back, where when a man works for something or a woman works for something, it's theirs.
We've got cattle numbers. We've got birth certificates. We've got documents that are attached to us, and some of which they say that you can actually go onto the stock exchange and run the numbers and find out which corporation owns your birth certificate. Now, whether it's true or not true, it'd be something people need to really find out for real.
They just need to stop insulating people from their actions by using a document called an incorporation. You know, if you do something wrong, you need to go to jail for, you know, that you hurt somebody. You don't get to pay your way out of it. You don't get to act like a rich person and just pay your way out of it. And that too for rich people. Sorry, we don't care if you're a politician or you're a movie star. If you kill somebody, you're going to prison.
And if you're
not going to a nice cushy prison either, where the taxpayer is going to pay a fortune for you to be in there, you have to pay your own way, one way or another.
If your corporation's involved in it, and all the corporation's investors are involved in it or allowing it to occur, you know, they say ignorance is no excuse to law. If your corporation's after killing somebody, that makes you just as responsible as the guy at the top.
Yep. You buy stolen goods from somebody else, you go to jail for receiving stolen goods. So why should you be able to buy from countries and companies that are forcing little children to work in mine shafts until they die, for you to be able to walk away and not have to pay for it just because it's in another country? I don't think so. Just because you have a paper that says incorporated, I don't think so.
People have to be held accountable. We're held accountable.
You end that type of behavior and start arresting these people who are running corporations for the acts of the people that they're associating with and supporting through their purchasing their goods. You'll stop seeing all this imported goods that's ruining the economy, and suddenly you'll see the economy spring back. You'll end up with us only doing business with other countries where, unless their goods are actually that good, they're not going to be worth importing. And we're going to have to start actually buying those other goods from here. You know?
Yep. And if you start arresting the doggone mainstream media for inciting riots, I don't care if their boss told them to say it. If they said it on there, they just said it to the masses. They just threw a grenade out there. If the mainstream media is sitting there inciting riots by claiming somebody's a racist and they don't have the evidence to back it up, like, you know, video hardcore evidence or some sort of proof that he's a member of the Klan or whatever, then they need to be held accountable. You start arresting them on site for sitting there citing riots, you know, you go on TV, you say something that causes a doggone riot, then you end up going to jail, period. You better be able to back up what you said.
Well, I wouldn't arrest somebody for causing a riot for reporting on something. I'd arrest them if they distort the facts and cause a riot by lying to people.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah. That's the issue, is they need to start holding them accountable for basically the nonsense that they spew out whenever it's not true.
If you deliberately distort the facts to further an agenda, political or whatever, deliberately distort the facts in order to get people to act a certain way and go on with
clickbait.
Yeah.
If you're distorting facts to create clickbait, then you need to go to jail for it.
Yep, that's the way it should
be. You need to be held accountable for every action that causes.
You got the right to freedom of speech.
Yeah, you got the right to freedom of the press, the same way with right to freedom of speech. And what were you going to say about freedom of speech?
But you don't have the right to, use your freedom of speech to
be exempt from consequences.
That's right. And that's the way it needs to be.
Same thing with the freedom of the press. You got the right to write whatever you want, but you are not free from the consequences of what you write and how it affects the world.
That's right. Go up there to the White House and stand outside saying you're going to kill the President of the United States. You utilize your freedom of speech to say that somebody should kill the President of the United States and see if you don't end up with the Secret Service beating you toothless and dragging you off to jail. You know, it's illegal. You got to get your act together and understand. If you understand what freedom of speech is, you need to understand the responsibility of the words coming out your mouth.
Maybe that's what they need to actually understand, is that freedom means you're responsible. Yeah. Someone else can't tell you what to do and then be responsible for what you do.
And there you go. Here's a good one, and I know Raymond will like this one because he's from Texas. The Second Amendment, all right? The Second Amendment comes with a lot of responsibility. You have the right to keep and bear arms, but you don't have the right to go out and start shooting people just for the giggles of it. Just because you got a Second Amendment don't mean you can utilize that firearm to go out there and murder people. Right? That's where the mainstream media stops.
Yep. If you shoot somebody, and you better have proof that there was a good reason for it.
Yep.
Like they had a gun, they were assaulting you and trying to kill you.
Mainstream media don't point that out. You should have the right to keep and bear arms if you so choose to do so. But what you have to understand is just like every other freedom that you got, it comes with responsibility.
That's what we need to do with the government and with the corporate laws. We need to sour that sweet pot they've got right now with some responsibility.
Yep.
They don't just get all the freedoms to do whatever they want. They also get the responsibility of the job that goes along with it.
The right against illegal search and seizures. Do you know how many times that court cases have been thrown out because the police officer didn't go through the proper channels and basically invoke the poison tree doctrine, which means that if I go to search your vehicle and I didn't see something in plain sight that gave me probable cause to do that search, or I didn't get your consent to search that vehicle,
or got a judge to sign off and say, here's a search warrant because we believe by it beyond a shadow of a doubt,
yeah,
we need to go have a look at that guy's place, and it needs to have documentation on what they're looking for and where they're going to find it.
But if I illegally search your vehicle without any probable cause or a warrant from a judge, anything that I find from that point on is inadmissible in court. I could find a dead body in the trunk and that couldn't be used against me. That sound crazy? That's the way it was set up. And there's a reason. Because if that power to search my property for incriminating evidence is in the wrong hands, and they just search me for anything they want, what's to stop them from throwing something in there that they can get me for? It's the checks and balances, man.
That's been done.
Oh, sure it has. But that's why these rights are put up there, to protect the people from abuse of power. And the people out there protesting need to not abuse the power. See, your rights are powerful if you use them properly. But it doesn't hold you not accountable for your actions. You are held accountable for your actions. You go out there with your freedom of speech and you hurt somebody, it's just like going out there with your Second Amendment and hurting somebody.
What about going out there with freedom of speech and hurting yourself, and then accusing somebody else of hurting you?
Well, there you go.
I mean, there was an incident, I think it was last night, but anyway, the video, I saw it this morning before the show started, of a young girl in a Hillary Clinton protest. And there were 12 or 15 people hollered at the top of their voice, "Get out of the highway! Get off the highway! Get off the..." I mean, hollering as loud as they could, and she was just bouncing around, and this car comes by and sideswipes her. And now everybody thinks that this guy is a bad person. Duh! Would you hit some Hillary? If you accidentally hit a Hillary protester in a riot, I mean, they weren't even rioting. They were just hollering bad words and stuff like that. But the point is, they were all hyped up. And you hit somebody by accident with a car, and you're going to stop and get out of that car, you wouldn't last 2 minutes. Your body would be whipped in pieces.
Well, there were folks that weren't even doing anything. They were just in their own cars, and because they were presumed to be Trump supporters, it's either drug out and beat up, or they had people smashing the windows out.
Right.
Now, if the shoe was on the other foot and all the Trump supporters were out there beating people up, and then suddenly they would want that same protection, they would want somebody to come defend them. But wait a second, how can they get that? Because they've already demonized the police. Now, F the police, F Trump, F this, F the government, you know? Folks, when society finally breaks down and you don't have no government, you don't have no protection, it's all left up to you. And if by that time you've already lost your Second Amendment, you better be good at some kung fu or build you a good weapon somewhere.
You know, that's exactly where the martial arts came from?
Yep.
when China, I mean, sorry, when Japan was trying back in the 20s and 30s trying to take over, not the Middle East, but the Orient, they were taking over country after country, and they were taking all weapons, anything that could be used as a weapon, a machete for cutting down trees and wood, a scythe for cutting down rice and wheat, a pitchfork for putting up hay to feed your animals. Those things could be used as weapons. They were taken away from the people. The people had nothing left but their own bodies, so they developed this kung fu and all these martial arts things. That's how it even came about.
Yeah, well, necessity is the mother of invention. So, exactly. You know, with that said, you know, we don't want to go back to an old Stone Age medieval style life where, you know, you can't even go down a road without worrying about which gang is going to mug you or rob you or whatever. Right. You know, and we don't want to live in some sort of, you know, like the Jericho. I keep saying this. Go watch that series Jericho, and if you want to live in that kind of style, keep acting the fool.
Just before you said it.
Huh?
Jericho popped in my mind just before you said it.
Yeah. Go watch the series. Watch it. Watch every single episode of that series and watch how it played out. Watch how manipulation works and how false flags work. Watch how gangs and different. At that time in the movie, they had 10 presidents. 10 presidents of the U.S. from 10 different countries, which were all the countries that basically sprouted back up after the nuclear bombs went off in 26 major cities. Now, if there's a secret government out there working towards trying to nuke their own people, if 9/11 was an incident where the government basically bombed their own people, it's not the whole entire government, folks. It's factions of it, those who are in the know, those who are in the power, the CIA and all the different alphabet suits, those who have basically been infiltrated and corrupted by people that just hate America. That's why the Constitution, when you take the oath of office, says that you will support the United States Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Think about that for a second.
Yep. And we got a bunch of domestic enemies.
And you got folks that want America to be communist. You got folks that want America to be, what's the other, socialist and...
Socialism. I'm more worried about the people who just want to own the country. They love it so much they want to kick everybody else out and just keep it for themselves.
Yeah.
Some 8 or 10 families that want to own the whole damn country and think it belongs to them by birthright or something.
And we know that throughout the history of the United States, a lot of terrible things were done to a lot of people, man. And it wasn't race specific or gender specific or target specific. You can look back through history and you'll find out that everyone, from immigrants to people who were native to the Americas before Europeans showed up or whatever, even some of the Europeans come across there were violated. You know, there were people coming in that were already indentured servitude, you know. So
indentured, sure. And then they turn around and screw them constantly to keep them indentured.
Yep.
That's what's happened to us now.
For over a year now, we've been advocating, very powerfully advocating, for a bloodless revolution in this country. Well, we just had it. Now, all these liberals are trying to turn it into a blood revolution. Why? We won.
Yep.
You know,
Stephen Gibbons promised
he's going to clean up the government. Okay, give him a chance.
Yeah, let him have a chance. We'll keep an eye on it. Stephen Gibbons said U.S. courts confused over incitement to murder. He says you have no right to ask someone to commit murder, obviously, but it's hard to say if the right to extol or encourage murder is protected. A few days prior to her performance at the Battle of Ideas Index on Censorship, republished a post of American lawyer Wendy Kaminer, Wright reflecting on how U.S. courts struggle to distinguish between incitement threats and mere advocacy of violence. And he posted a link down there to the article. You know, the Constitution has been basically debated time and time again. And there's still people who perceive the Constitution as to mean one thing, while the opposite side of the spectrum thinks it means something completely different. When you really sit down there and look at the words, and you try to scrutinize the different definitions of each word inside there, and you try to make this Constitution fit what you want it to say, you're not being honest with anybody, you're not being honest with yourself, because just like in the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill. There wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts, subsection A, article C, and the fine print of microprint D. It just specifically said, thou shalt not kill. The United States Constitution says, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
And they literally meant no exceptions. Anything that can be considered an arm is allowed to be owned and possessed by the American people.
Yep.
Why are there no American people with nuclear bombs then? How come there's nobody out there that has whole platoons of tanks? If it comes right down to it, we do not have the firepower to fight our own military if our government becomes tyrannical and turns our military against us.
Yeah.
And if you think that the American people that are in the military will buck the system, think again. All they have to do is take a whole platoon if they want to come down here to Missouri and attack people, and just literally make sure everybody in there is a New Yorker, and that they hate dirty, filthy rednecks that are all inbred, and you know, you can get them to do anything you want, because you've now demonized the people of Missouri to the point where they're no longer human to those people from New York, and vice versa. They're all city slickers, and they wake up each day to be a jerk to each other, and the first things out of their words are foul mouths. So go up there and mop them up, clean them up, man. Send a bunch of kids from Missouri in the military up there to take care of them, because they're so disconnected from those people, and there's enough difference between them that they can actually create the division they need to make those demonize those people so they're no longer human to them. That's exactly how the Nazis wiped out so many people in the Jewish community, because they managed to demonize Jewish people to the German people to where they felt that they were not human, they were less than human.
It was not just the Jewish people, it was the Polish as well.
Yep.
And several other countries. They did the same thing to you. They demonized those people where the Germans had no problem killing them.
Oh yeah, they had a whole program where the only people they were going to let survive were blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryans.
Right.
Yeah, well, in the chat room, Barry said, martial law coming soon. Beware, Obama's going to pull out all the stops. They have a plan B. Well, folks, that may be the case. But I'm telling you, going out burning down your own communities is just giving them the excuse, the justification to enact their Patriot Act, their National Defense Authorization Act, and any executive order that he's put into place in the process. You got to be smarter than the average Joe. When you're playing chess with a bunch of individuals who are basically ruling the world via their money or whatever and their power, you got to be smarter than they are. They put the pawn into place for a reason. They want you to attack the pawn, and you don't see that knight coming out of the corner. You see what I mean?
Yep.
That's what it does. You know, raise up your right hand, smack them with the left, that kind of deal. You think these folks ain't had practice? And they don't call them corrupt for nothing. You know, they talk about all the different, you know, like the Art of War by, what's his name, Sung Tzu? What he talks about?
What?
Fight your enemy, you know, where he ain't or whatever.
Get your enemy to fight himself?
Yeah, pretty much. Get them to argue amongst each other. They'll kill each other off. Look what's happening in the black community. You know, one hand, the cops are racist for shooting a black man, but on the other hand, the black man's still shooting a black man.
Exactly.
And it's not just in the black community. It's in the white community as well. It's in the Mexican community. It's in every race out there. Go down to what they call Little China. Oh, I think it's in San Francisco. See how you fare down there. Right? There's pockets of society, different countries, pockets in different places. Remember the old movies about the mafia? Right?
Yeah.
Cross some of those folks and see what happens. Go down there to the Hell's Angels and kick all their bikes over. See if you don't get retaliation.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's... The whole thing is, you know, people being manipulated, man. You know, yeah, there's tons and tons of conspiracy videos out there under, man, more than you could possibly imagine. Secret society, secret hand signs, all this kind of stuff, you know. And what needs to happen is the people of the world, the American people and the people of the world need to learn how to play chess. That's my suggestion for you today. That's the solution. Go sit down and watch the game of chess and learn how to play chess inside and out. When you see the strategy that is actually put into playing a game of chess, then you'll understand how these folks are able to blindside you on a regular basis and do the things that they do. You know? Because they got special moves that they can make as kings and queens. They got limitations as well. And so if you know what the king and queen can and can't do, and you got a better strategy than they got, you can get them in checkmate. And that's what happened here. Trump got elected. Checkmate. Now it's your move. Am I wrong? Raymond? I think we
actually, you are wrong.
I'm wrong?
Yes, because once you checkmate somebody, the game is over.
Well?
We've got them in check.
Okay, we got them in check. See, I would have lost that game. But now I learned from it.
They put their king or queen in danger. They're in check.
All right, they're in check. Now it's your move. What do you got?
Well, the losers, if they're really bad losers, then they start throwing pieces all over the board and throwing things around and hollering and screaming, you cheated, but you didn't.
Well, isn't that what they're doing right now? Stephen Gibbons
exactly.
just typed
That's
in...
exactly what they're doing right now.
Stephen Gibbons just typed in, hardly mass riots, and they have been outed as being orchestrated by Soros, and so useless peeps are... living under a rock. I'm not sure why they would buy it. Essentially, you know, you zoom in on about five people and you can make it look like 500 people. It's crowded there, see?
Camera around from face to face.
But that's part of playing chess. They're playing a better chess game than the people right now because the people are buying all the propaganda that's being spewed out by not just the government, but the mainstream media and even the protesters out in the street. You know? So, go out and learn how to play chess. Learn the difference between check and checkmate, too. Otherwise, you'll lose the game and not even know you lost.
Exactly.
But that's what they're doing, man. That's what they've been doing. They've had hundreds of years to work this thing out. You know? Maybe our founding fathers were corrupt, but they were pretty smart being corrupt. If it weren't for the corrupt system, you wouldn't have the freedom to be the jerk that you are. You know?
I'm glad you brought up chess and talked about it as much as you did, because I play anywhere from 2 to 5 games of chess against a computer every day, 7 days a week, have now for 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
And I never lose a game.
Well, my game is checkers.
No, I play chess.
Checkers is a mano-a-mano move against move, and if you know how to do it, you can win every time.
All right, the thing is, the reason I don't lose
is because the computer is set that if it makes a mistake, it cannot back up. If I make a mistake, I can back up because I'm human.
Yeah, as long as you don't take your finger off that piece.
For Hillary Clinton made a mistake. They didn't check their facts. That's why they lost, and they're sore losers. All they got to do is back up and wait and see for the next election. Now, if Donald Trump does not do what he says, the Republicans will join the Democrats to get him out of there.
Yeah, they've done it before.
Man, get somebody else. But I got a sneaky feeling, man, that he's going to try. If he doesn't do what he said, he's going to try really hard. And all these people out there, they're scared to death, they're going to be deported, this, that, and other. That's bull hockey. He's going to start with the ones that are doing crimes and not legal. The criminals, the ones selling drugs, the ones hurting people, robbing people, beating people up on the streets that are illegal. Yes, get them out of here.
I got to ask a racist question.
The ones that are legal, that are working hard, paying their taxes, work with them, you get them to stay.
Hey!
Hard-working people in this country. We don't want a bunch of dang-old freeloaders and a bunch of criminals.
I got to ask a racist question.
Yeah.
Why did the people from Mexico or Guatemala or any other, why did they come to America to begin with?
Exactly.
No, I'm asking, what's the answer? Why did they come here?
For many different reasons. Most came here to look for a better life, and they're hard-working people.
Yeah.
But some come here because they were told they could get this free, that free, and they didn't have to work, all they had to do was this. Some came here to get a better hold on selling drugs and this, that, and another. I mean, but many, many different reasons. But the majority came here for a better life. Why are they trying to take it down?
Well, my question of why they came here, the answer to that question was because they didn't like the way that their government was going.
Exactly.
So they came to a place where they thought they could have at least a chance. You know?
But now a lot of them are trying to tear it down. Why?
You want to make it like the one you just came from, then that's a good way to do it. Come over here, burn down the American flag, prop up the other flag, and offend everybody who you came to live with. Keep in mind, Americans aren't leaving. All right, we were here. We're going to be here. And you know, outside of a mass genocide, we'll always be here. You know, it's as simple as that. And when I say Americans, look at America. America's melting pot. You got Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Vietnamese, African American. You got European people from every nation out there. For some reason, they decided they wanted to come to the United States of America, the big giant melting pot of the world. And now, you know, what we do with it is up to us. Is all these people going to go back to their prospective nations? Are we going to divide all nations of the world amongst race or religion? Are we going to send all the Japanese back to Japan and all the Chinese back to China and all the African Americans back to Africa? Some of them never even been there. Some of the Chinese and the Japanese and the Irish and the Scottish and the Canadians and, you know, the Vietnamese and the Korean, they never even set foot on their prospective homeland. They are Americans. They were born here. They love their country. It's a cool place to live. You know?
If so many of them are so bound and determined to fight, physically fight, to change this country, why don't they go back? If they came here for a better life, why don't they just go back to their country and fight down there? I guarantee you, if they put enough of them, went down there and started a big fuss, American people would join them.
Well, my point about saying all that is not to try to sound like some sort of racist. Because I love all these people. They're Americans. You know, but...
If you want to be in this country, get a job, pay your taxes.
First off, whenever a person... Hold on a second. When a person legally immigrates to the U.S., they have to take a test. There's a test that they have to take, and they have to learn about the Constitution, they have to learn about the way our government is, and so on and so forth. They have to pass this test to legally immigrate, so that people understand what they're getting into. Alright? Once they get into the deal, they understand that this is what they signed on for. You know, we say the Pledge of Allegiance, because we pledge our loyalties to our country. Alright, and that's for everybody to be able to enjoy those rights and freedom and safety and so on and so forth.
Almost every country that has a flag to represent their nation has a pledge of allegiance to that flag.
Well, for folks to come across here and skirt the process that the people came through here legally, took the test and did all that, and then come in and start popping their flag up and saying, you know, whatever, America's racist. Well, that's not immigration. That's invasion.
That's invasion. You're right.
And so...
But if you're illegal and tear down our flag and put up their flag, that is definitely invasion. That is an act of war.
Well, my point is, they don't even know the history because they didn't have to take the test. They didn't know. That America is a representative republic, so they always shout out about the democracy. We're not a democracy. We've never been a democracy. It's when you hear the President of the United States call our country a democracy, he doesn't even know. The President of the United States is supposed to be a constitutional lawyer. Isn't that what he supposedly studied in Columbia University, was constitutional?
Supposedly.
Yeah, well, regardless of whether he did or didn't, he doesn't understand that the United States is not a democracy and has never been a democracy. It's a representative republic. So why get on mainstream media and tell everyone out there who's uneducated that we're a democracy? Why do senators and congressmen always call us a democracy? We're not a democracy. Democracy is mob rules. Mob rules is what you get when you go to a violent protest where the mob will show their butt and whoever is the most violent and can get the other side to back down wins. So if 100 people decide that suddenly you should be electrocuted, then guess what? In a democracy, you're electrocuted. In a representative republic, you at least have the chance to have a jury of your peers to decide before you get electrocuted. You have an executive, a legislative, and a judicial branch of government there to protect your freedoms and your rights. In a democracy, if the majority of the American don't like the way you sing and decide you should die, you're swinging. That's it. So while they're running around promoting democracy in the world, they're promoting mob rules throughout the world. That should be your first red flag. The founding fathers set up the doggone representative republic for a reason. They didn't want mob rules. They wanted people to speak to their representatives. If enough people decided and their representatives believed in what was going on and was going to honor their constituency's wants, then they would go there and they would vote accordingly. But also gave them the option to not vote accordingly.
If your representative does not do what you want, what the majority wants, then we need to vote him out.
Yeah.
We don't kill him. We don't need to hang him. We just vote him out. And that's exactly what we've done. I have no doubt that somewhere down the line, Obama has done a little bit of good. But he hasn't done a whole lot. He has done nothing but alienate this entire country.
Personally, I can't find one thing that he's done in this entire scenario that is worthy of a representative republic, that is worthy of the office of presidents, or worthy of the United States Constitution, or the founding fathers, or all the individuals out there who ever fought and died and sacrificed for this country. I can't find one thing that he's done throughout his entire time in the office as a somebody who was deserving to stand in that office. I mean, when a guy goes on to talk shows on, you know, comedy shows and makes and mocks and ridicules and does the says the stuff, it's no joke what he's saying. The President of the United States shouldn't be standing up there joking about stuff. Secret agendas or drone striking people, you know. He shouldn't be saying that stuff. Because it's no joke. He is supposedly the most powerful man of the most powerful country in the world, and yet he's going to stand up there and say, for all you conspiracy people out there, if you think that I'm here to put some sort of secret agenda, guess what? You're right. Well, some folks are going to take him literally. They're going to honestly believe that that's what he wanted to do. You see what I mean? That's
what Wilson said in public. If it come down to a choice between the United States and my Muslim brothers, I would have to stand with my Muslim brothers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not being racist or religious. I'm just taking the man at his word.
That's what he said.
The United States. That, to me, that was no joke.
That's what he said, man. And, you know, if you're holding that high of offices, your word is, your words are powerful. What you say could literally start a war.
Yes.
And so it comes with a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of honor that is involved, a lot of responsibility in the office of presidency. Because you're not the king. You are a servant to the community. And for you to, for example, during the whole gay rights thing where they legalized marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. All right, okay, whatever. In whichever state level they decided they wanted to do that. To each his own, all right? But when it come down to actually shining the flag, the gay pride flag up on the People's House, the White House, now, that should have been a neutral zone where that wasn't done. You can't go to school and talk about God because it's a government-ran school and they're talking about separation of church and state. However, you can shine the gay rights flag up on the side of the People's House knowing that some people are going to like it because they got something that they wanted. But the other portion of the American people who are not being represented are offended by it. You see what I'm saying?
You want to fly a gay rights flag in your property on top of your house? Fine, I got no problem with that. But you don't fly it on a public building.
But the thing is, they want their cake and they want your cake and they want to eat it all. All right? Because on one hand, you can't talk about God in school, but you can shine the gay rights flag on the People's House. All right? Well, it's a government house. It offends people because not everybody believes that that's right. Now, to each his own, your own decision. But you can't be a hypocrite and be the President of the United States. You're either going to be there for all the people, or you're going to be there for none of the people. You see what I mean?
Yep.
That's the whole point. I was offended when I saw that up there because the simple fact is, on one hand, you're telling me I can't have God in school or you don't want God on my dollar bill, but you want to put this up there. And what makes them any better? When you shine that gay rights flag up there, why didn't you put after that a crucifix or what's the symbol for Muslim? The Muslim flag up there, whatever. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
To make it fair across the board, everybody's represented.
It's okay for me, but not for you.
Yeah.
The attitude they have.
Well, it's not right, because there you go. You get people that feel like they've been unjustly abused.
What's the old saying? Good for the goose and good for the gander?
Well, yeah, and that enough. When the police or the government or people out there in certain sections of society are held to lesser standards. You commit this crime and you go to the harshest prison where they commit the same crime and they go to a pretty little comfortable house where, you know, they're in time out for a while. You see what I mean? The hypocrisy of the difference of the punishment.
Yeah.
if the punishment's going to be a punishment at all, it's straight across the board. That blindfolded scales of justice lady, you know. Justice is blind. They, one hand would say ignorance is no excuse to the law, but somebody who's supposedly Secretary of State, who has access to top secret stuff, can violate the law and not be held accountable. That's why people come out in masses to vote, because the hypocrisy wins enough, Brandon.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. That's why people are acting the way they're acting. You know? Some segments of society are just acting ridiculous because they didn't get their way, and they don't know how to cope when they don't get their way because they've been given everything.
Exactly. They've been given everything. Free! Oh, wow, it's free. No, it isn't. The working class people had to work and pay taxes so the government could take that tax money and give it free.
Yeah, like the people that were standing in line to get their Obama money, you know, or their Obama phone. Remember that?
Yeah.
Obama's going to give me some money. Where's Obama's money coming from?
Right.
Right.
Like the college professor that was going to show a student what Obama's distributed the wealth really meant. He took him to his house on the weekend. They grabbed 2 5-gallon buckets each, started dipping water from the deep end of the pool, walking down to the shallow end and pouring it in. After about 4 or 5 trips, the student asked him, said, "Sir," said, what are we doing? He said, "We're trying to take water out of deep end and make the shallow end deeper." He said, "But that won't work." He said, "Now you understand Obama's theory about just redistributing the wealth. You fully understand."
Yep. The whole wealth issue is that if you work hard and you can actually advance, become a millionaire or whatever. You work hard at it. You know, the way that some segments of society, they've got monopolies on everything under the sun. There are laws against having a monopoly of companies, but the way that some of these representatives have been lobbied, they basically set it up so that they can have monopolies. They just use loopholes to do it.
Right.
Like corporations, declaring corporation as not a human or vice versa, so they can't be held responsible.
I said it earlier on the show, true capitalism, it is impossible for you to make $1 million without helping 10 other people make $100,000. Those people cannot make $100,000 unless each one of them helped 10 other people make $10,000. That's the way true capitalism works. But now then you got corruption and monopolies and crap like this. But we have laws against monopolies. But, like you said, the politicians have issued in laws that exempt them or friends of theirs from the laws against monopolies. I mean, duh, all we need is Trump or somebody like him to get in there and shake the government up and let's get rid of these laws that are special interest group laws.
Well, you said the key word, shake the foundations of the system, because that's what Trump did. He shook them up, all right? And that's what needed to be done.
That's exactly what we just had.
Yep.
Now we're feeling the aftermath of the sore losers.
I think the biggest thing to take away from this whole deal is being knowledgeable enough. Learn how to play chess, literally. And you understand how you're manipulated. It's that simple.
Yep, we understand the difference between check and checkmate.
Yeah.
We are in a state of check.
That's their move. So whatever dirty deeds that they pull on there, the American people need to be ready. You know, the people of the world need to be ready. It's as simple as that. And if you're not, you get blindsided, just like in a chess game. You know, they'll move their pawn out there, and you'll think, "Oh, there's a sitting duck. I'm getting that pawn." You do, and then the knight moves over, and bam, you got it. Your pawn, and it's always the pawn that gets it, man.
Yep.
You know, the pawn's always sacrificed. Guess who the pawns are, folks?
Yeah, really. Us.
Yeah, we the people are the pawns in the system that we got going on.
They're going straight. And that's what Hillary Clinton's supporters need to understand. They're in the same daggone leaky boat with us.
Yep. So, basically, if they don't understand that they're being used as pawns, and when it's all said and done, when they get tired of the folks after protesting, guess what they're going to do? They're going to stop your protest. They're going to stop it with a vengeance. They'll send doggone military in there necessary, martial law, whatever. You know, you got to be outsmarting these folks. Right now, you got the people backing you right now. You got the masses of people that are wake up, that are frustrated with the corruption. You got the power of the people at your disposal. And instead of backing the side that, you know, where the power is at, that you want it to be at, in people's hands, you're backing the side of the people that had broke in legislation to make sure that if you get out of hand, they can come in there and take your stuff and your freedom and your life if necessary. You see what I mean?
Yep.
You know, and that's what we're dealing with. These folks have been playing chess a lot longer than the average Joe. It's time for the average Joe to start playing chess back. And the pawns out there that are protesting, you're giving the power to the media. You're giving them back what you just took from them. You're giving the power to the same police that you're protesting against. You're standing out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying, save the trees. So, what's going to happen is you're going to be out there as long as you can stand the heat or the cold. Then eventually you're going to give up and business as usual, and you'll be out protesting some other time. If you want true change, if you want this country to go around more closer to your point of view, you're not going to get it with violence. You're not going to get it with disruption and all the craziness. You're just going to give the power to the people on the opposite side of the spectrum that you despise. Now, maybe you don't like Trump. Maybe you don't trust him. But he was elected as president. That's what we were told. And so we have to be vigilant and watch him on throughout his administration. And just like every other candidate out there that went against what they said they were going to do, we need to point it out. We need to use the power of the alternative media to keep them in line. They're afraid of us right now. That's what it should be. When a government fears its people, that's a good government. When the people fear the government, that's tyranny.
It is.
So, make your choice, folks. Tyranny or the government being in check. That's what we need. And that's why the checks and balances were set up between the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch of governments. That's why they all had their own certain special powers that the other ones couldn't infringe on. And when one side or the other starts blurring the lines between what is legal and what is not, according to the Constitution, it's up to the people to ensure that we put them back in check. That's how a representative republic works. Democracy means mob rules. What you see out there with the protesters is mob rules. That's what mob rules does.
I'd like to get into this economic thing.
Well, let's get into that on the way back after we go to a music break. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right, so hold that thought and bring it up when we get back. How's that sound?
All right.
All right, everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We're going to take a quick music break and come back and finish up sorting this mess out. Peace and love. Stay tuned.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help.
expect to see you. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps you'll die upon this train. You can bury me in some deep valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
All right, and we're back. So, let's see. There's a chat room in there. If working, Stephen Jim said, if working hard equate to wealthy, every blue collar America would be a wealthy millionaire. Well, there's a lot of folks out there who work real hard, but I have to say that in America, if you're able to sit here and listen to this show on any kind of device, you're a lot better off than a lot of different people in the world out there today. I'd like to see everybody have access to the internet. I'd like to see everybody have access to, you know, the luxuries of home, such as heating and cooling and fresh water and medicines and everything like that. But you got to look back to why. Ask yourself the question, why is it that other people in this world aren't doing so well? Right? What causes this deal? Raymond was talking about how Trump hardly used any money, but still come elected. You got any more to add on that there, Raymond?
Yes, I do. Trump spent less than half the money that Hillary spent on her campaign, yet he still got it elected. Trump spent less than one-third of his campaign as Obama spent on his 2012 campaign. Less than a third, and yet he still got elected. Doesn't that tell anybody anything? I mean, all elections in the past have been won by those that spent the most money. I mean, come on, folks. What does that tell you? That tells you that the working class people, the blue-collar worker, finally got off their dead duff and spoke their piece.
Well, that's something that needs to be repeated a lot.
All these people protesting, they're going after the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, I got news for you. That's why we elected Trump. Because the grease bucket is getting low.
Well,
we got to put it on wheels that aren't squeaking so that they keep on rolling while we take the squeaky wheel off and fix it.
Put yourself in the place of some of these folks out there in what they classified as third world countries. We're sitting around and we're having a debate about why we should support a president and why we should not, either way, or about crime and corruption. These folks, some of them out there living in mud huts. Some of them don't have running water. They got to go down to the well or the creek or, you know, a mud hole to find something to drink.
I've been there. I've seen it.
So what we got going on, we should be feel fortunate that we can even sit here and have this dispute with one another. But what we got to do in order so we're not living in mud huts one day is to ensure that we work with the system to repair the system, not throw the baby out with the bathwater. And in the same process, help to uplift those folks that are down there living in those mud huts that would like to live in a decent house. You know? There's some homeless folks that chose to be homeless. They just don't want the responsibility of owning a home. They don't. They just want to wander around and just enjoy life. You know, that's their choice. But for those folks who are homeless that want a home, then maybe we should help them out. Maybe we should help heal the sicknesses of whatever addiction that they're on. Maybe we should put our hand out there and assist them. You know, give them a lift up. See what I mean?
Helping them out does not mean giving them a home. It does not mean giving them free food. It means helping them help themselves.
Well, you know what? If it takes a free meal...
Anybody, even a millionaire, you start giving them things, and before you know it, in their eyes, in their mind, in their heart, you owe it to them. That's what's gone wrong with the people in the United States today. They've been given and given and given until now they think the government owes it.
At the same sense,
a daggone thing.
At the same sense, don't blur the lines between freebies from the government and compassion to help somebody out that is in definite need. It's obvious, blatant, obvious, definite need. There are those who abuse the system, but there are those out there who need some assistance to get back on track. And if they never get it, they end up living under bridges. They end up being addicted to drugs or stealing for survival or whatever. That shouldn't have to happen in today's society. We're getting ready to go into the year 2017. If there's still homeless people in the world, you know, something that humanity has done has gone awry. If there's still people, babies in the world that are sick and need food and they're not getting the attention that they need, something's gone awry. And if the best that the government can talk about is birth control in third world countries to, you know, stop families from being families or whatever, then something's wrong. You hear words like depopulation agenda where they talk about bringing the population from 9 billion down to 500 million, then something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong. nobody has the right to rule somebody else's life. We choose our representatives. At least that's the way the system was supposedly set up. We choose the people who we choose to go be our leaders and be our voice to keep the peace amongst the masses out there, so to speak. When we don't pay attention to what they're saying and doing, or when we give them powers to be immune to prosecution when they break the law, then we got a problem. And suddenly the people aren't satisfied anymore. Suddenly the people are angry. Go watch that little cartoon that's out there on YouTube called The Dots. I don't even know the whole name of it. Just search up The Dots. And you'll see a bunch of tiny little dots ruling a massive amount of dots. And they're just following blindly. Well, why should we follow you? Because we're the leaders or whatever. We're the ones in charge. When the ones in charge ain't doing the job they were sent there to do, it's time to move them out. And that's what happened here this go around. Whether it be like the Bernie guy, Bernie's supporters doing it to slap the DNC, or whether it be the people doing it to slap the mainstream media or the government, regardless of the fact, the man was chosen. He was chosen in a fair and democratic election.
Well, it wasn't all that fair.
It depends on who you look at.
They have found absolute proof of over 3 million illegal votes. Absolute proof.
Regardless, even with all the corruption on that side, he still won. Fair and square. He wasn't out there stealing votes. He won fairly.
So, votes are fair. I mean, you know, 270 electoral votes and you're automatically president. But Donald Trump got 306. That's 36 more than he needed. Doesn't that tell anybody out there something? You're standing there walking around with hate signs and protesting Donald Trump. Yeah, he won more than fair and square.
Well, let's just hope and pray that he's a man of his word and he does what he said he's going to do. And let's just hope and pray that the other side of the fence don't incite a riot in the process and give all those dictatorial powers to whoever's in charge.
I don't know if he's going to try to do what he says, but I do know. I know he will try to do what he said. Whether he succeeds or not, I don't know, because he's only one man in a very large Congress.
Well,
and he's going to have people that's going to fight him. He's just going to have to put his foot down.
That one man is representative of the majority of the people have spoken. That's who they wanted. That's who they got.
Fails to do everything he says. You don't blame the man, because he tries. Now, he will try. That's all there is to it. If he doesn't try, then we got a problem with it. Well, but he needs to try, and I believe he will.
Like I said, only time will tell. You know, it'll all come out in the wash. We'll find out whether we were duped again.
That's why I keep saying, Hillary supporters, if you've got any common sense, stand down. Don't do all this riot crap. Let's just see what the man's going to do, okay?
Well,
if he tries to do what he says he's going to do, then I will personally join you.
They're hoping above all that in the fourth quarter of the game that they can throw a Hail Mary and pull off a victory for Hillary. It ain't going to happen. And if it does happen and it's a shady deal, then all those masses of people who come out on masses to have their word heard, vote, are going to feel like they've been cheated. And when that occurs, watch out. If George Soros was sitting there manipulating the doggone election via his money and his support for all the different people who are, you know, hardcore liberals or crazy loons or whatever to destabilize America, then he'd be having a good old time about it. He don't care about y'all fighting amongst each other. That's the least of his concern.
He does care. He wants us to.
No, I'm saying to the extent where he's going to be upset because you all out there fighting. No, well, couldn't you all just get along, you know? No, that's not the kind of person that dude is, man. Look at all the different places that he supported destabilization of different parts of the countries, of the world. That's an evil dude, man. And he ain't playing for you. He's playing for him. He's playing for the global elitist. There's a YouTube video out there said that Putin issued an international arrest warrant for Soros. I don't know whether Putin is really a good guy or not, but the way that he's been portrayed, I'm starting to like that guy. He's kind of cool.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he don't take no lip off nobody. And he's always telling them, look, you know...
John Wayne's what he is.
He's like saying... why you guys are over there putting all your war machines on the side of our border? Do you guys realize we still got nukes on the launch pads over here?
Really?
That's what he's saying. He's like trying to tuck some common sense into him. So for whatever you can say for the guy, you know.
That sounds like that meme that floats around showing all the different U.S. outposts and you know, on the map, and they're like, man, you know, you see how Russia's, you know, pushing to try to start a war? Look how close they put their country to our military bases.
Yeah.
There you go.
Common sense, folks. During the Cold War, they had everybody afraid that the doggone Soviet Union was going to attack us. You know, they had everybody thinking everybody was a Soviet spy, and everybody was sure there was spy versus spy on both sides. There's a lot of craziness going on.
They didn't say it in exactly these words, but the Russians did say, if you translate it correctly, that if Hillary Clinton was elected president, the entire country of Russia would go on red alert.
Yep. Well, she even said it. She said it during a couple different press deals, that she wouldn't have no problem going against to Putin. She accused him of basically hacking the doggone DNC and stuff, you know? So when you're throwing accusations out against another superpower in the world, you think they're going to stand idly by? Well, especially if they know they didn't do it? Yeah, well, there's a lot of spy versus spy on both sides, but you got to be careful if you're going to be commander-in-chief not to be throwing accusations at the country that you're hoping to one day ally with. You know, maybe they don't want to ally with Russia. Maybe they just want to keep the internal conflict going on forever and a day so that they can basically run Russia into the poorhouse.
Or they can just keep people distracted so they're not actually paying attention to the corruption at home.
Yeah. All worried about the Reds coming to get us when the Blues are over here attacking us. Watch this hand while I punch you in the face with the other. That's what's going on, people. We need to get our act together. We need to basically be vigilant, like Thomas Jefferson said. You know, we can't overlook the fact that there's probably a lot of secret societies out there and powerful people doing dirty deeds behind the scenes and evils, unspeakable, unthinkable evils. But in reality, if we the people lay down to that evil and just be passive and say, oh, well, you know, everything will work itself out. Well, when it doesn't work itself out and you had the opportunity to at least speak out, and now you can't speak out for fear of going to prison. You think about that. You think about what they did to the Jewish people when they put the doggone star on their chest to point out that they were the people that everybody wanted to keep an eye on or get rid of. You might be wearing that star one day, or something similar to it. There's a deal out there, and I can't remember it for exactly, but it talks about, you know, they came from the black man and you said nothing. They came from the yellow man, you said nothing, and all the way down to the whole process. They came for your neighbor or whatever, and then finally you said nothing. And when they came for you, there wasn't nobody there to help you out either. That's pretty profound if you think about it. You know, we got to protect each other. all races, all religions, all political views got to protect each other. You may be a Democrat. You may have lost your election. The Republicans won this time around. Maybe you'll be better next time around. Maybe you'll get the mainstream media in line so that they can tell the truth instead of lies. Tell, you know, when you did it, admit it. And when you didn't, you know, fight for your rights. That kind of thing. But to lie and propagandize and threaten people and intimidate them from voting the way that they want, calling people racist and xenophobes and homophobes and all the phobes that they can think about, just because you lost or because your political views ain't been represented the way you wanted them, you're just tearing down your own freedom. You're tearing down your own nation. We got to stop tearing down and we got to start building up. We got to start uplifting our fellow brothers and sisters around this world and helping everybody to at least have a chance to live in freedom and the comforts that we all enjoy. So it's that time again, Raymond. You want to take the first shot?
Nah, I think I said everything I need to say.
All right, well, Thomas doesn't left the room. Thomas, you on your wireless? Guess it's just me.
Nope. You lose Raymond?
No, Raymond's still there.
Oh, well, then why are you saying it's just you?
It's that time, man. It's that time. We're going around the circle there. Yes. You got something you want to point out before we roll up out of here?
Famous last word by Thomas.
No, you guys have already said everything, man.
Well,
I'll tell you what, I'll say it again, I've said it several times, because I really truly hope that the Clinton supporters that have a little common sense, and I do believe in a lot of them out there, just stand down and let's see what happens, okay? Just stand down, everybody, stand down. That way the idiots can show the true colors.
Well, and to the Trump supporters out there, basically the same thing, but defend yourself with every right that you have available to you and don't let somebody walk you down. You know, that's the whole dang thing, man. They're trying to goat you into a fight. On both sides, they're trying to goat you into a fight so that they can enact all the laws and regulations that they put in place. Go read the Patriot Act, go read the National Defense Authorization Act and all the executive orders that have been put into place to literally give them so much more power, dictatorial powers, over we the people. And when you read those, understand, you're not just playing a game of life or death with somebody, some evil that you don't know. You're playing chess with folks out there who want to tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what to believe, and what not to believe. So if you're going to fight for freedom, do it with wisdom and common sense. If you're going to fight for freedom, fight for one another, not with one another.
Exactly.
That's the best advice I can give you. You know, we're standing at the crossroads, people. I've said this, I've been passionate about it, been talking about this on many nights of the round table. We tried to put the warnings out there ahead of time. This is what's coming down the road. And we called it. Go back and listen to the shows. We called exactly how this election was going to play out. And it did. Just like it. You know, one of the sides or the other don't get their way. They're going to start rioting in the streets. What are they doing? It may not be as widespread as the mainstream media portrays it, but it's enough to get the video that they need to try to propagandize you into believing that a racist man who's now going to be president started it all. Does that make sense to you?
Where did they all come up with Trump being racist?
They made up all kinds of stuff. It's like the whole thing about Mexicans being diseased and drug dealers and killers and rapists and stuff like that.
Say anything like that?
Well, he said something to that effect, but he didn't say it in the context that it was taken. MSNBC and ABC only took the context where he was talking about how the government of Mexico doesn't want those people. They don't want to pay to keep them in jail. They don't want them, so they ship them across the border. And we don't know what crimes are being committed of, what diseases they're carrying or anything like that. And so what they did was took out the section of what he said that they wanted to use against him and took the entire first half of what he said out, so that all they played was that one little clip of what he said. They chose the word strategically to make him sound like a bad guy. So every Mexican that heard him say that there were diseased Mexicans coming across the border, or drug dealers, or rapists, they thought that that's what he said. And if they would have went back and heard the entire thing, if they'd have done the research to listen to the entire conversation in context of what he said, it's not the folks coming across here illegally. It's the ones that are coming across here illegally who have the potential of being rapists and murderers that their government run them out of town. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what they did. That's how they're calling him a racist. Never mind the fact that the other side is the one that, you know, basically does all the racist deeds, or the fact that the Democrat Party was the head of the Klan back in the day.
Anybody that does not like killers, drug users, drug dealers, and people like that of ill repute, bad character, I wouldn't call that racist. I would call that bigot. A positive bigot. And that's me. I don't like criminals. I don't like thieves. I don't like child molesters. I don't like people that are in gangs that don't like other people in gangs.
Well,
start with a gang where you do good for your community, not bad.
The majority of the American people are good people. The majority of the people of the world are good people. It's just a small minority of the ignorant listening to those who know that they can get the ignorant riled up, will propagandize and do whatever. Then when you hear talking points, they repeat it like a mockingbird what they heard on TV, because the TV must be right. Trump must be a racist, and so on and so forth.
Right.
The deal is, Trump shook the foundations of the nation because Trump is not the insider. That's why they hate his guts. That's why they got to try to demonize him. And that's why I posted a link about Kennedy getting shot, and about the little skit that was done in a school of a mock assassination of Trump, and mentioned the fact that they trying to say on Twitter, bunch of people on Twitter tweeting out saying that somebody needs to shoot Trump. Any other president, they'd be all in uproar. But nobody, the ones that believe in Hillary, should they stood idly by and allowed that to occur in school.
The thing is, of all the protests, less they are, the people actually in the protest are less, way less than 0.5% of the voting age people in this country.
Yeah.
Less than half of 1%.
And fact is, a lot of them didn't even vote themselves. They said they weren't going to vote for any of the candidates because they were corrupt. So they ain't got no reason to complain. If you're not being part of the system proactively, then you ain't got no reason to complain when your guy don't get elected. So that's the way it works. That's a representative republic. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Woman, man, what knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here!
Oh!
How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam off. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.